grant program has been going on for 2 years. The first round of grants was June 2004, and there were 12 projects. We've completed 9 of those projects as of today. The 2 case studies we're discussing this morning are both from the first round of faculty grants. Then in May of 2005, there was another round in which 9 projects were awarded. And we estimate that we'll have the majority of those done this fall. They're going much quicker overall than the first round, and a lot of that's just based on our project management experience after round 1. This is our website for faculty grants, and if you go onto the site, you can see brief description of all the awards from both years, brief descriptions, and links to those sites that have been, projects that have been completed. The faculty grants project management is through the DCAPS, Digital Consulting and Production Services Group, and these are the components of, basic components within DCAPS. Now, because this presentation is on technological challenges, we'll really be focusing on the digital media part as well as the technology support when we're reviewing these case studies today. Although, as always, we always have to touch on copyright and metadata, and these projects don't involve e-publishing. So I'd also just like to give an overview of all the projects that we're working on. These are our standard delivery platforms. We have faculty grants projects that go into each of these right now. The majority of them, as you can see here, we have 8 projects and approximately 60,000 images that will eventually reside in the DLXS platform. Of these, most of these are from year 2 projects. The Liberian Law project and the REGME project are both completed and are up now in DLXS. Additionally, within the LUNA platform, we have 4 projects. 3 of these are completed. We're currently working on what we call the Barnaba Aerial Maps project. That's in the upper corner. Then we have Isbell, Clinton, and McDougall. And again, these 3 here are all live. You can look at those in LUNA. And then within these 3 platforms, DPUBS, the Medieval Philosophy Journal, is going into DPUBS. The Murray Faculty Grant, which is artist proposal materials, is going into DSpace. And finally, we have completed an additional 2 projects besides the Cornell Daily Sun, are in what we call the Greenstone platform for newspaper delivery. And that's Preservation News and the Friend of Man paper. That's the overview section of this presentation. So now I'm going to turn it over to Melissa, who's going to talk about the Allen Faculty Grant, which is the History of Social Welfare Portal in Congress.
Hello, I'm Melissa. I'm a web designer with DCAPS and DLIT. And the Allen Faculty Grant is pretty much composed of 2 main parts that we're dealing with right now in developing the web portal. First, we have the digitization section, which is about 8,000 pages of materials, which are going to be coming from monographs and from the Rudin collection. And some of these, the Rudin collection materials are mostly letters and things like that, handwritten materials, which I think are in RMC. But all these materials are going to be put into DLXS and delivered that way. And we're also going to have a really content-heavy section of the site, which is mostly developed by Professor Allen herself, and it's going to include timelines of the history of social welfare for African Americans and also just in New York State, as well as profiles of prominent individuals from that time, like Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois, and a lot of resources, because there already are a lot of websites and books and information out there on social welfare and related topics. And all these 3 sections are all supposedly going to be updated by Professor Allen herself, so we really wanted to use CommonSpot so that she could continue to expand the site content-wise as we go. Oops. So some of the content challenges we found with this website so far are, one of the big ones is we have to deal, we have to work with this faculty member who has so much other stuff going on with her. And she has a lot of content, and she's really writing the bulk of the content for this website. So we have to, we work with her, we do regular meetings with her, which she can or can't always make. And we have to just kind of, we just have to push her a little bit in delivering content to us so we can really actually get this done by deadline. I'd say right now we have about 10% of the content, something like that, of her actual written content that needs to get into the website done. Another challenge with this is the actual digitized materials are just really not that interesting to look at. So right now I'm trying to design a website that's visually interesting and elegant and styled nicely, but we don't really have that much graphically to go on. So to solve that, we have to look for image resources within the topic of history of social welfare, which there really aren't that many. So we're looking for African American resources online that are also in the public domain, so we don't have to deal with copyright at all. So another, which is kind of a technological challenge, is Professor Allen already knows of these websites that exist that have somewhat similar content. And she knows what she wants visually. And some of these don't really, some of the these websites don't really match with the kind of content that we're going to be providing. So this is one of them, this is Lest We Forget, which is all in Flash. And it's sort of more like an exhibit, but she sees this and says, this is what I want. But she doesn't really know exactly what she wants, but she knows she wants it to be pretty and flashy. this is another example. And I'm always, as a designer, I'm always coming back to these and saying, how can I do this and make the site still functional and make it about the content, but have her be satisfied at the same time? So really graphically heavy websites. And then this one, this is a new one that I've been looking at. She actually, one of our last meetings, she went to, she was telling us about an exhibit she went to at the Smithsonian that was about war. And it had this whole timeline, and she loved the graphics in the exhibit itself. So I went online and I found that they had an online counterpart to it, which just not gonna do, comments pod. This isn't gonna happen. So how can I make something nice that is gonna satisfy her need for this kind of a thing, but we'll focus mostly on the content, and deliver the content in a usable, accessible way. So this is like my mantra at the bottom, don't forget comment spot and DLSS, because we're working on all these iterations of design in HTML, but I need to remember that at some point this has got to go into comment spot and it has to work, and it's got to interact with DLSS as well. So you know, it's just good to remember the overall picture technology-wise. So just some stills, get the web connection to more. And these are some examples of some of the imagery that we're going to be working with in the website. And these letters are examples of the rooted materials that you know really just don't mean anything in a way. I mean, you can't get up close and read them unless you make them really large. So what we've been doing is using some of these other images, which come from an online resource that the Library of Congress has put out for an exposition of Paris, in Paris, of African American life in America. So these are just some examples of things that we're implementing into the site. Now this is the first prototype that we had come up with, and this is probably version 8 or something. Of the design. And Professor Allen really liked this website. But at some point, she decided she wanted to add another link to the top navigation bar. And that just completely threw me off. And she also wanted to add numerous pages. And I just started struggling with how to expand, how this website in this format, in this layout, could be expandable. So I did a redesign. And this design I really liked, and I knew I could make the content easily readable, and it could expand, and it could go into comment spot pretty easily. But she didn't like it as much. So right now we're at the stage where I'm back to the drawing board, and I'm gonna put the two together so it'll look like this. And so hopefully she'll like it. No, I've got some ideas of it. Basically, it's gonna be a combination of the two. So what's next for us in the Allen Project is to get that final approval that would be wonderful to get after I do the third version of the design. And then I'm gonna throw it into Common Spot and everything's gonna be good and it's gonna work. And that'll take 2 weeks. And then I can't forget that we're actually gonna be delivering digitizing materials in DLXS, and that's gonna involve a certain amount of design as well. And something that I struggle with as a designer in DLIT, working with digital libraries, is how you create a seamless integration between this informational website and this delivery platform that you can't necessarily modify all parts of the interface. And I think that making it seamless as possible will help the usability of the site. And of course, we also want to make sure the site is fully accessible for those with disabilities. And so now we have Daniel Miracle. Going to talk to you about that.
All right, so I'm going to talk about a faculty grant with David Bathrick, who actually has a joint position, I believe, in German studies and drama. This has just been a really fascinating project, but also the most technically challenging thing I've ever worked on. It consists of 22 interviews, films, with German playwright Heiner Müller. By the avant-garde filmmaker Alexander Kluge, and it's to be archived, transcribed and translated, described and made available on the web. So it's a rather ambitious project. Heiner Müller is arguably one of the most important playwrights of the 20th century, certainly in Germany. The films actually began in 1988 and went through 1995, so it was 7 years of interviews with this playwright. And if you can imagine in Germany what was going on politically, socially, I mean, the wall fell, and so they're really, content-wise, absolutely fascinating. But of course, you know, they are very challenging material to work with. We've had some logistical challenges just to start off with. It is an international collaboration. University of Bremen in Germany actually technically owns the material of these films. Alexander Kluge is a close colleague and friend of a professor at the University of Bremen. David Bathrick is close with the professor in Bremen. And so through this collaboration, we got a hold of this material. There were copyright issues. I think, Fiona, we went through probably 9 iterations of this draft to make sure that we did have the legal, you know, backing to put this stuff online, because they were broadcast for German television. That's actually when these were originally made. And they also have been published. They've been transcribed and published in a lot of places. So we really had to, you know, do some thorough copyright work. Some of the other logistical challenges, like Professor Allen, Professor Bathrick is rather itinerant. He has been on sabbatical twice since this started. So in spring 2005, he was in Harvard. This last spring, he was in UCLA, and currently he is in Germany. So you can imagine trying to get content information from him is rather challenging. That said, he is wonderful to work with and is just really a brilliant man, so it's been a pleasure. But, you know, getting the job done has been an interesting challenge. Lastly, we're rather limited staff. It's myself, it's Jim, and Melissa, really just 3 of us within DCAPS who have been working on this with any concentration. Of course, we, you know, consult copyright, we consult people in metadata, we work with people in the library to sort of pull this together, but, you know, it's challenging, and we're all juggling multiple projects. I mean, at any given point, I think we have, you know, at least 10 other things on our plate at any given time. And lastly, there's been just tons of research and development, and you'll see why in just a second. Technical challenges. You can see my sinking ship has sort of felt that way through a lot of this process. The original film format was a German broadcast television format in PAL. And I don't know if you're at all familiar with the film world. PAL, which is a European format, is entirely different from the American format, which is NTSC. So that was just straight off. How do we deal with that? Ultimately, we did end up getting University of Bremen to convert it to NTSC and then provide us with MPEG-2s, which we can then work with. We've had to deal with, you know, how are we going to deliver this? Are we going to use streaming technology? Are we going to download? We ended up going with the streaming technology of Flash, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second. We have a database. We have chapters within each of these films that need to be described. Subtitles, annotations, metadata for video. What do you do with video metadata? What's the precedent? You know, it's relatively new. So how do we proceed with that? And then, of course, we also want to make the site in German and in English. As it is an international collaboration, we felt that it was only right to make sure that University of Bremen can use it too, as they've been generous enough to share their content with us. So, you know, I can just show you the basic workflow. We've had many parallel streams going. I'm not going to go through this in really great detail, but just to give you an idea, it's not really a linear process. Either like four or five different things going on simultaneously and different groups working on things. And, you know, within digitization, we had the material converted. We've been converting it into Flash using Final Cut Pro. We have German students from the German department doing captioning, actually transcribing the films, translating them, then captioning them, and then of course from our end we have the programming and the web development happening. So we have to create the interface. Metadata, you know, that's David and Reiner, who are known in Germany, the two professors who are working on that, are working on it at the same time. So it's like a juggling act. You're trying to bring all these pieces together and get everybody to talk to each other in a way that is efficient as possible and also, you know, is constructive and effective to get the information that we need. Just to give you a sense of the technological solutions that we've had to used to make this happen, and I'm going to go into some detail with that. But this is this is a lot of software that we've used, and you can imagine it's a little daunting to think about how much we've had to learn just to make this happen. First thing was, okay, Flash. Why are we using Flash? It's a valid question, as opposed to, say, RealPlay or any of the other options out there. One of the primary reasons we went with Flash is because it's got an installed base of about 98%, and that's for an international community. You don't have to deal with as many of the PC Mac issues that you will with some of the other proprietary formats. Like, I think it's RealPlayer is a PC format. QuickTime is more Mac based. So Flash sort of, you know, was a bit of a catch-all for that. And also streaming, so it protects some of the copyright issues. And people can't download this material, but they can certainly watch it. It loads quickly. There's a new version that incorporates some of the other things. And built-in compatibility with other players. And lastly, it's feature-rich. You can deal with subtitles. You can deal with annotations and some of those things that, you know, really we felt were necessary to make this website functional and really content rich. Some of the Flash requirements, just to give you a sense of what you need to make it all put together and work. You've got code, you've got a Flash video, a caption file. It all sort of comes together, and then at the end I'll show you the actual website and what it looks like. But it's just to give you a sense. Some of the other technology that we started to make use of, in terms of the international collaboration and all these different people working on things, this is something we set up in Confluence for the grad students and for the two professors. You can see these are the 22 films. Each one of them has there's a translation and a transcript. While the German students are very good at what they're doing, the professors have to check it to make sure that they got the transcription right, that the translation caught the nuances of the language. So we set this up and they can all access it, and they've been thrilled with it. I mean, actually, especially the grad students. Getting the professors on board has been a little bit challenging. They get a little intimidated by the technology, but Confluence has just been great to sort of deal with this, you know, sort of segment or stratified, you know, group of people. We also, I'm sort of jumping around here. It's just so, in putting this presentation together, I was thinking, oh my God, how can I even begin to talk about this? But metadata, some of the things that we're dealing with in terms of trying to get the metadata into a working format that then can interact with other projects under development, actually even within DLIT, other video archives, other audio video resources. This is something that IMLS sponsored. It's called an open video project, and you know, you can, it gives you the sort of layout of required elements, repeatable elements, and trying to get a controlled vocabulary there. Of course, we have the professor, I mean, you know, David and Reiner are the ones really creating the content for this, so we had to develop a place for them to put this in a sort of, you know, structured environment, if you will. So what we came up with is a FileMaker database, which is web-enabled. They can just enter the content here, both in English and in German. This is actually still under development, so we're still working through some of the kinks. But again, it's another web-enabled technology so that everybody can talk to each other and everybody has a sort of central place to work from. Other technology that we're looking, that we had to implement, this is probably the most frustrating software we've dealt with so far, is this called this high captioning software. And this is just to give you a sense of how it works. You play the film, you listen to it, and then you click on this little step current button every time you want to add time code to it. And so, fortunately, after many grueling weeks of trying to figure out the appropriate file format that this thing likes, it says it can take anything, but then we found it really will only take a certain type of file format and work effectively. We did get it working, and now we have a German student who is going through each of these films and loading the transcripts in and then determining the time code. So now I'm actually going to sort of go through the site with you if it will work. I think it should. Just to give you a sense, this is actually live now, although it is under construction. Oh, odd. Looks like, you took it. Oh, maybe it's just a different film.
I don't know.
Maybe. Something's missing.
Yeah.
Something's missing, but we won't worry about it. A little design element. So to give you a sense of the layout, we have these conversations between Heiner Müller and Alexander Kluge. We have the videos page, which lists all the videos and the duration. And I'll go into one of those in a second. We also have this themes page, and this is where the metadata is challenging. This is still under development, but basically, there are themes that will cut across all of the films, certain recurring people that they talked about. Bertolt Brecht is a great example. Lenin, historical figures, plays, all these sorts of things that cut across. So we're sort of trying to build this out, get them to give us this information so that way so many different points of access into the site, basically. Resources that we, will be URLs related and things like that. A lot of the content is still, like I said, under development. If we go into the video, so we do have one that is mostly built out. You can see where a lot of this information comes to play. This is, by the way, the titles of these films are just beautiful. I Owe the World a Dead Person, Mind Power Castration, and they're good. They're a little absurd. Okay, but let me show you some of the streaming technology. Again, this will all be in German and in English, but for now, we do have toggle switches. Let me show you. Jim has been pretty amazing in developing some of the technology. We did purchase a flash server for this. I think, God, you guys have learned, Jim and Melissa have learned a tremendous amount of getting this technology to work. But you can see the captioning that's been done for it comes up. If you want, we decided to make it as user-friendly, so if somebody is, usable for somebody who, say, is deaf and wants to read in the German, you can toggle switch back and forth. Now it's in the German. We also, this was a request of, actually the grad students came up with this, needing time code, so that, for example, a professor wants to use this resource, he can queue it up to where he needs to, put it on pause, and there you have it. Another piece is this annotations. This is something that's being developed also by grad students and in conjunction with David and Reiner. This little thing up here will come in and out as the piece is playing, and you can click on it, and then you get sort of annotated information about the film. These films are so rich in content, and there's so many references that are made. So, for example, if you're We thought a parallel of reading a book. You have your notes at the bottom of the page. These are annotations that David really felt were very important in terms of enriching this content. And again, I think it will be for most of the films. It may not be for all of them. I think they might just choose some of the really key pieces that have a lot of historical information that needs to be annotated. And it will sort of come in and out, and then you can simply click on it again, and the piece will start playing again. We will have the English and German transcripts also available for people to just read if they want to go along or to print. We will have an expanded video. It's actually not up right now, but if, say, you want something larger to look at, you can. Most of the films are more talking heads, if you know, they don't. They're visually compelling, but not in the way that you really need to analyze them and need a really large video. So we figured a 640 by 480 screen would be sufficient. We have the annotations.
You know, he's not drinking coffee, right?
Oh, no, no. In fact, he drinks scotch and smokes cigars, so all the films, every one. So when we finally finish this thing, we're going to have a big party with scotch and cigars. We'll, little email call out there. But yeah, I mean, again, the content is really fascinating. And, you know, the descriptive information that we're getting from them is incredibly compelling. And I do think it will be a resource that's used widely. Again, Alexander Kluge is one of the leading intellectuals in Germany. Heinrich Müller, who I think died in 1995, is you know, just a fascinating figure in and of himself. We're developing other points of access. One other thing that we're working on right now is getting all his works that are cited in these films also clickable. We have these chapters. A lot of these films are sort of broken up in segment themes. So for example, within the Hertz Gonigan or Queen of Hearts and Judgment Day, there are three sort of central chapters. We've got death and blindness and the will and life as one, what is patriotism and opera and realism. And what you'll be able to do when it's fully functional is click on that and get to that point. It also, you'll be able to search on these as well. Again, you can do a keyword search throughout the whole site, but then that's where these themes really come to play. And again, these really need to be sort of fine-tuned in terms of getting them so that they're broad enough. Some of these are really way too specific, and again, guiding David and Reiner in that. I mean, for example, one of their themes was day and night writers. I mean, you're talking about the work process, and we're like, well, no, you have to back up, and let's think about what are you trying to talk about, the writing process. Or, you know, Tolstoy versus Dostoevsky. You know, I mean, if you're going to reference these people, you have to do it in such a way that is meaningful and not too specific, but yet not. Then some of the other ones were literature or history, and we're like, well, that's not going to help us too much either. So it's getting the granularity, the level of granularity that will make it a really functional, robust site. Again, it's been incredibly challenging, but it's also been a incredibly fascinating and fun thing to work on. And the technologically speaking, again, incredibly challenging, but I think we've learned a lot, and we're actually working on a few new projects that will make use of the same technology. A Chinese performance art from the Golden Archive down here in RMC. You know, a lot of rich content. So if you have any questions at all for any of us, please feel free to ask.
Yes. And now, were the students that are working for you, are they David students and he's like assigned them to this, or are you paying them?
It's actually, we've gotten lucky in the sense that the German department had a real interest in this site, in doing this. So the German department's actually paying for them, and they are grad students of David's. One of whom, the guy who's doing the annotations is actually, he specializes in Mueller. And then we've got the woman who is doing captioning, I think, I don't know if I'd call her a native speaker, but she is, I think, spent so much time in Germany that she's qualified as a native speaker. So they're really, it's been great because they're very familiar with the material. They also have the perspective of a student trying to use this resource. I've gone to them and said, okay, what would you like? And I've gotten, in fact, some more useful navigational information from them who are a little more savvy with trying to get information off of the web than, say, the professors who are, and I mean, David Bathrick is actually, he's in phased retirement right now, so he's not quite emeritus status yet. But this is technology that they're very unfamiliar with, whereas the grad students are entirely familiar with it, so they've helped a lot in terms of getting this information.
Just two questions, quickly. One is, what's the connection between people getting to this, like from the catalogs, or are all these films going to be in the catalog with links directly to this? I imagine yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then the second is, what's the library overall with faculty grants? What's the library's backing of these things?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sure.
So there's a lot of work that's done on these things.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, 15 programs, different collections, things like that. You know, what's the library's
commitment to
these things,
uh-huh,
in terms of, you know, long term, making sure, you know, as technology changes,
right,
are these things all going to be updated? What's
right
going to happen? Kind of.
No, I think it's a valid question. I can say, with a lot of the faculty projects, fortunately, this is one of the more unique ones because it's sort of not off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of them going into DPUBs or DLXS, those are sort of accounted for. Now, with this particular resource, I can speak to this. We're actually in the process of developing a repository for our audio and visual material. So, for example, the Tim Murray grant, which is also a lot of sort of rich content, multimedia type stuff, we realize this is going to reach a point where we're going to have to manage this over a long period of time. So, actually, Oya and I are really working heavily on this right now. It may be a Fedora model, we're not sure yet, an implementation of Fedora. But we do have a commitment to this material, and again, after all this work has been put into these, and they are, I think, really great resources. This one, again, is one of the more challenging ones because it's not off the shelf. It's not Luna. It's not going to sort of be built in within,
yeah,
some of the existing maintenance structures. So we're trying to actually, based on what we've learned from this, build a structure that can then be expanded. I was talking actually to Kaiser Walker actually about this particular resource, and Alexander Kluge actually has done a whole series. I mean, he continues to do the series for German television, and he's like, well, if this one goes well, maybe he'd be willing to give us more of this material, more content with other people beyond Heiner Mueller. So we're hoping, I think the hope with the faculty grants is that actually more projects will come out of it. I know, for example, Billie Jean Isbell is applying for grants right now to expand her, you know, project and ultimately, you know, get some sort of critical mass going and build off of them rather than have them in their... traditionally, I think things can kind of get lost when they don't exist within a framework that's maintained. Yeah.
Did I hear you say you're going to connect to the full text of the plays as well, or to just scenes?
No, not full text. We just basically want to have citations. And we will load in bib records, I think, to say, okay, if you want to actually look at this, you can connect to it in the catalog. But there's a, like, for example, with the video that we were just looking at, you know, he cites a number of poems and some of his published works. And of course, that was something that the grad students were very emphatic about, is saying, well, we're reading this. We want to know where he's talking about it. And so we want that to be a point of access. In fact, I think what we're going to have over here is sort of a works cited bar. And that way you can click on that and then say, much like the themes, it'll take you actually to the clip name, which is a segment level, and say, okay, he talks about this, you know, this play that he did in this clip that's in this film. And, you know, there might be four or five clips per work cited. So, and then we will also, with the work cited, just have a link to the bib record in the catalog. The films actually will also be available for checkout, so if people want to, you know, take the DVD out. I don't know, I mean, there's so much more content to these, but if in fact a researcher or somebody who's working offline, say in a classroom or something like that, they can check out the DVDs from the Media Center.
Yeah. These were both great projects. I'm just totally salivating over them. But I have a question for both of you.
So that is, do you have some plans for usability testing to sort of the last stage beyond, like obviously German, the students have given you some really good feedback, mm-hmm. but.
But yeah, beyond that, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's actually something that, you know, Fiona and I, the three of, actually all of us within DCAPS are really trying to get better with our usability tests. Lance has actually been helping us a lot with our Luna collections. We now have sort of a workflow set out that says, okay, in order to call a collection complete, we have to do this, and usability is one of those. Usability tests, we have to make sure that all the administrative metadata is somewhere so we're not relying on institutional memory. So if one of us, say, were to leave, then it's not just sort of this asset that's kind of lost. So again, we are trying to get more systematic about that. This one, I think is gonna be, I think we'll follow a similar model to what we just did with the Luna test, get people into a room, a bunch of students or professors and also reference librarians, because you guys are the people who really are on the front lines there, to say, okay, is this working? What needs to be changed? Are the access points good? We learned a lot from our Luna tests, I have to say, and we still have to implement some of the things that we learned, but
And it'll be tight timeline, but Josephine Allen is planning to reference this site in her course this fall. So, you know, we can work with the class and then make modifications during that time.
Honey, what else would help?
Follow up.
If I could just add very quickly, Melissa is a part of the PSEC usability group. That really helps in making that crucial connection with PSEC.
It seems like, you know, other institutions have usability labs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it seems like with all the projects that are going on here, really
helpful.
Yeah. Absolutely. No.
Anyway,
all right. I had a detailed question just for you, Fiona, in terms of copyright. Obviously, the images for the social welfare are coming from Rudin, and that's a collection that's here, but do we not own the copyright then of things that are here in the library, of these images and things?
Yes. The Rudin collection is ours to use. Our point was that based on the fact that the Rudin collection is basically handwritten letters, wills, estates, that visually when Melissa was showing the shots of the portal, you know, we were looking for people shots, activity shots that mostly talk about social welfare in that setting. And so having one after another, you know, Rudin letter just wasn't going to suffice.
I just had a comment. I thought it was interesting. Adding to the complexity of the project, I just heard during one of the conversations that Germany is going through a transition period language.
Right.
They're revising their language, and I thought, oh boy.
Yeah, that was actually something. They just changed all their spellings, and a grad student had actually gone through and changed them all, and then David and Reiner decided that they wanted to go with the old spelling. So now she has to go back through and change all the captions.
I just saw some of that, and
did
I was
you?
Like, what's going on? Like, that's not right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's... And what we're trying to do is actually, Jim and Jimmy
said we could do a toggle for each, the different journal.
Oh, God, no. Oh, Jim, no. What, Jeremy, do you want to work what we're hoping to do, I mean, and I think Jim is setting this up right now, a database where we only have to change it once. So everything gets fed into that. So the transcripts will change, the captionings will change. So Jim, that's going really well, right? the level of complexity to this one has been a little daunting. Oh, the budget. Actually, the amazing thing is, I mean, fortunately, the German department kicked in for the translation and stuff, but we've been remarkably on budget with this one. I to give you an idea, the budget for this was $36,000, which is a formidable amount, but given the amount of programming hours and all the digitization and all that, we're actually still within budget.
We're saving up for a really good cigar.
We're saving up for a really good cigar. Scotch, yeah, Scotch. So, and I think the Allen is too. The Allen came in.
Yeah.
under even maybe.
Right, I mean, yeah. We're going to finish all our faculty grants projects, you know, not within say 2.5, almost 3 years, mm-hmm. and all within the allocated budget.
Budget,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
Which that doesn't count the blood, sweat, and tears cost.
Well, yeah, our souls, but you know.
You mean that includes even the Luna project?
Well, you know, Luna was a whole different.
Melissa, were you able to build it all on the Eccles stuff in terms of the DLSS web interface type things you're talking about?
No, because I think for Eccles we were in a previous version.
Okay, so this is
we weren't able to modify a lot of stuff with Eccles.
Okay.
But hopefully with the Allen project, it's version 12 and it's supposed to be highly customizable.
I just wondered if you were able to, in terms of all the R&D with all these new things, mm-hmm. if you were at least able to use any of that experience.
Yeah, I've done several DLXS collections in the old way, so I'm kind of aware of what's possible and their features. So.
If you'd like to leave feedback for the presenters this morning, there's an evaluation form here in the front of the room.
All right, today's 24th, something like that.
There's a hard drive in here.
So most of the images that we have,
thank you.
Really have
Katrina Jackson. Wait.